Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckman Show. 10 o'clock, final hour of the program. Means time for the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuckery always gets the first request in it. A little heat wave. Ain't no half-stepping, baby. We want to go full steps around here. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to leave us a comment there. The radio.com app is what you need to download. That way you can always listen to the radio station when you're on the go and outside of your vehicle. Put that on your smartphone or your smart speaker or your smart tablet or your boombox or 8-track player or, you know, Sega Genesis or Commodore 64, whatever you got for a device, just put it on that. Sports Radio 910 The Game is also helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. For more info, go to radio.com/stayconnected. Social media, all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms available to you there, as always. Best way is to follow us on our personal Twitter accounts. That way you can keep up with anything going on with us in the show. It is that, by the way, we're looking at Rey Mysterio's Nitro poster right behind him. We'll have Guy Evans on tomorrow night talking about WCW Nitro and the book that he wrote called Nitro. Anyway, personal Twitter handles, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown still producing the show, hanging out as always, Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. Don't forget, it's Tuesday tomorrow, too, so that means we get to do another round of Rank'em. We'll see how long that lasts before I get kicked off air. Anyway, speaking of getting kicked off air, let's get into our NFL squib kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So EA Sports has said that they will be postponing their first look, but I can't even talk now. 10 o'clock tells you, you know, I should start drinking at this point. EA Sports is postponing their first look at Madden NFL 2021, which was planned for today, but because of the protests and everything going on across the nation, they decided to wait on it. Quote, "We stand with our African-American/Black community of friends, players, colleagues, and partners. Our immediate attention is on actions we can take to drive change against the unjust treatment and systematic bias that is plaguing the nation and our world." So they announced last month that they would be releasing this next-generation video game consoles, but gave no more information about the game. It was supposed to be an event today to give fans a first look at the latest installment of the franchise. Quote, "We'll find another time to talk football with you because this is bigger than a game, bigger than sports, and needs all of us to stand together and commit to change." Now, Lamar Jackson, I guess, is going to be on the cover this year. That they said that in April, but that was done through Lamar himself. EA Sports never actually put out a release or anything saying who was on the cover. But according to Lamar Jackson, he said himself that he was going to be on it. They also, too, have agreed with the NFL to be the league's exclusive publisher of football simulation games through the year 2026. And, of course, you know, EA Sports looking at the college basketball, right, and football game. Of course, you know, with the Ed O'Bannon winning all his lawsuit and everything. They obviously need to pay the, you know, old athletes if they're going to use their name, image, and likeness on there. So I don't know what the status is of the college football game. Did they ever decide to do a college football or basketball game? Did they bring any of all that back since the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit and all that stuff? Because remember, they pulled it when Ed O'Bannon was suing everybody for it, and I don't remember if they ever brought that back or not. But the new Madden game, they're going to wait wait a while before they do the revealing and all that for it. Matt Herney, the general manager for the Carolina Panthers, talking about his star running back, Christian McCaffrey, who they just gave a four-year, $64 million deal with back in April, expressed confidence that things will work out better for him than some of the other backs. Quote, "You hit the word correctly when you said versatility. Christian's ability and his performance as a receiver is very unique to the running back position." By the way, something can't be very unique. Is that being an a-hole when I say that you can't have something that's very unique? Either something is unique or it's not, right? Unique means that it's singular. It can't be very unique. Anyway, that's just one of those grammar things. Very unique to the running back position, as you can see by the thousand marks that he surpassed last year. He really is a different type of running back at that position than maybe we would have thought 3, 5, 10 years ago because of his ability to create mismatches as a wide receiver, his ability to run between the tackles, his ability to make big plays. He really is a combination running back slash wide receiver. All of those things led us, as you said, his ability as a leader, the type of commitment that he shows, the type of person that he is, the way he comes every day to get better, all those things went into play. 2,392 yards last year from scrimmage. Third highest total in history. That's crazy stuff. And listen, I've said before that the best offensive player I've seen in my lifetime in the NFL, okay, at his peak was Marshall Faulk. When you talk about the combination of running and receiving, you know, Faulk could have absolutely been a premier wide receiver in the NFL. He was good enough that you could put him out. He could run routes. He understood the position. And obviously, you know what a dominant running back he was. But he was a fantastic receiver. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Christian McCaffrey is Marshall Faulk. There ain't nobody's Marshall Faulk. Nobody's that good. Oh, by the way, they're showing WrestleMania 31. That's actually a pretty good show. Although the Triple H Sting match was pretty disappointing. Actually, really disappointing. It was really hokey. The entrances, by the way, because that's the FS1 that they're showing tomorrow night, WrestleMania 31. Watch the entrances to Sting and Triple H, their match. The entrances are unbelievable. And by the way, too, that's the first time Ronda Rousey was in a ring. She comes down with The Rock, but you can watch it tomorrow anyway. But back to Christian McCaffrey. He is a unique running back. He is a dominant offensive weapon to have. And it's amazing, remember, all the questions about coming out. What could he be? Could he take the hits and things like that? We'll see. I mean, long term, we'll have to find out what he can be. But thousand, man, that you know, can't dumb your way, as I always like to say, to 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving in the same year. That's a hell of an accomplishment for a guy to be able to pull something like that off. So he is a hell of a player. I mean, can't deny. I don't know if I saw 1,000 coming from him as he came into the NFL, but, you know, unfortunately he's in the Falcons division and running wild. So, George Kittle and the 49ers not close on a new deal, according to reports from ProFootballTalk.com, because they want Kittle to be paid as something more than a tight end. They say because he does everything at the highest possible level, he's one of those guys that is more than just a regular tight end. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, this is one of those things where guys, every so often you get one of these guys, right, that tries to pull this off that they're bigger than what their position is and things like that. Right, didn't at one time Jimmy Graham, right, he tried to pull this because he had lined up, even though he was a tight end for the Saints, he had lined up like 60% of the time at a wide receiver spot. He wasn't lined up at a tight end position off of one of the tackles. He was more split out wide, so qualified him as a wide receiver. and he lined up like 60% of the time, but still, he got paid like a tight end in all of that. Say Kittle's pay for 2020 will be based upon the last year of his rookie deal, so he's due to make $2.133 million. He'll probably get the franchise tag next year if they can't reach a deal. That's $10.6 million, which is the lowest of all positions other than running back and kicker-punter. So forget kicker-punter. Lowest of your regular position players. Running back is $10.2 million. Tight end is $10.6 million. But hell, even if it goes up, you know, you got to do, what is it, 20% the year after? That's not a bad number. Even if you have to add a couple million dollars onto his total for the next season. I think it's, isn't it like 20% on the second go around or something like that? I don't know. If they were smart, they'd try to get something done sooner rather than later. Don't be cheap with some of your star players like that. You know, he's a huge part of his offense. He's a huge part of what they do. He's a huge comfort blanket for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's one of those guys that when you have a guy, we talked about unique talent in Christian McCaffrey. When you've got a guy that's a unique talent, the way that George Kittle is, you don't want to mess around with him. And I get it, it's a business, and they don't want to pay 6 cents more than what they have to. I get it. I understand. But boy, I mean, you don't want this to get to where he's wanting out of San Francisco. He's been so good and so productive there. And let me tell you, he gets on the open market for what he can do, man. He's going to make a crap ton of money. So Peyton Manning, of course, go back to 2011, recovering from neck surgery. And it says that he saw the work that his brother Eli had been putting in during the lockout. And so talking to Peter King on Football Morning in America, the topic came up during a Zoom meeting with investment bankers, and Eli Manning detailed the work he did to get players together when they couldn't go to team facilities or talk to coaches. It says Eli gathered scripts and plans and then went through detailed work with his teammates. His brother Peyton said, quote, Eli talked about organizing their own workouts and taking some ownership. Eli got practice scripts like blitz walkthrough drawings, diagrams. He got practice jerseys. He organized workouts at a high school. He was kind of the head coach / coordinator, and they were doing full routes and 7-on-7 blitzes at practice. He was really thorough. And, of course, that was the year that the Giants ended up getting to the Super Bowl in beating the Patriots, all that. Now, obviously, the thing is that they can't get together for those kinds of workouts. You can't have physical altercations and things like that right now. But Peyton says, I've done a few Zoom calls. I did the Buffalo's quarterback room meeting, did the L.A. Rams full team meeting, did the Bears quarterbacks. That was kind of my message, sort of, you know, follow Eli's lead. Quarterbacks, take ownership. All these Zoom meetings right now, the coaches are leading them. My message was to quarterbacks, quote, hey, organize your own Zoom meetings without the coaches. Just get you and the tight ends, you and the receivers. It's actually an opportunity to even have better communication because there's nothing else to do, right? Hey, every Tuesday at 9 a.m., quarterbacks and the offensive line Zoom watching film. Instead of complaining about it, see it as an opportunity to really improve. There's no reason you shouldn't have every play from last year you studied down to a T. He says, I shared how I broke down film from the previous season. I always watch the interception tape first, then the sack tape, all the bad things. You figure out why you're throwing these interceptions. What drill do I need to incorporate in the offseason to fix that? He says, by the way, that Sean McVay, after he talked with the Rams, he got a text from Jared Goff and Jalen Ramsey. He said they're going to organize their own meetings and workouts. All right. Listen, with all due respect, Peyton Manning has an immense amount of cachet around the league. Can't argue with how great Peyton Manning was. Can't argue with how great of a leader Peyton Manning was. You know, that's one of those guys that if you're a player and you can't respect what Peyton Manning did for the game and his leadership and work ethic and his, you know, honestly, his football IQ and everything, you can only hope to be as good as what Peyton Manning is. So, good stuff there. Interesting, you know, we talk about it. And look, you know, Matt is trying to lead some of these guys in some workouts and stuff like that. So give Matt, give Isaiah Oliver and some of these guys credit that are trying to organize some of these workouts and get these guys into some different situations out there. All right, when we come back, Pro Football Focus says that Matt Ryan is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. We're going to let you hear the clip that they talked about, and then I'll give my reaction as well. Chuck, we're hanging out with you on a Monday. Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, rocking your face off. Monday night. Is this considered brown liquor music? I mean, we do have WWE Raw on 404-741-0929, headed toward the top of the hour. JR Sports Brief be coming up next. Follow us on social media stations at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Oh, there we go. See? Much better. Now I feel more in the, now I feel more like in the 10 o'clock mood. Listen. Every now and then, if we have to have a metal shop, you know, 10 o'clock hour, I could give you lots of thrash metal that we could play.
Well, you know, we get in trouble for playing too much brown music. So, you know,
that's right. Yeah,
I threw that in
right.
there just to kind of, you know, keep the people happy, the bosses happy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have to mix it up. You know, we don't want to ruin our image. Yeah.
No doubt. We can't do that.
Especially for our sponsors in the 10 o'clock hour.
Who's
our sponsors again in the 10 o'clock hour?
Wait a minute.
Hour?
Oh, my bad.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Hennessy?
No. That's right. It's the famine people. It's the people that haven't eaten in a week.
Hennessy, you're listening.
Anyway.
Man. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's
for you.
People that haven't eaten in a week, have asthma. Can I tell you, I'd take the breathe easies right now. Anyway, we'll get in trouble for all that. There's a lot of inside baseball to all of that. But anyway, so Pro Football Focus. Now, we always say here, take it for what you will. Take it for the good, the bad, the ugly of it. We talked about the wide receiver rankings earlier on in the show and where the Falcons ranked. I think that's kind of low. I don't look at the Falcons as the worst of the wide receiver groups within their own division. So, but that's where they were. But on one of their podcasts that they do, a couple of guys talking about, they're putting out their list right now. And the list they have is the most underrated players by position in the NFL. At quarterback, they have our own Matt Ryan. And here's what the guys had to say about Matt Ryan and his underratedness.
He's always been a part of that second tier of quarterback behind Brady, Breeze, Peyton, Aaron Rodgers. But Ryan has consistently been a part of that second tier, right there with the Ben Roethlisberger. Russell Wilson now, who's probably surpassed him. And Matt Ryan has been better than him for the majority of Russell Wilson's career. It's been almost like a back-and-forth battle, not just a slam dunk that it's Russell Wilson. Matt Ryan has the MVP season in 2016, and he's just a consistent 85-plus PFF grade guy year in, year out. That makes him underrated. Not always in the 90s, but 85-plus, all underrated team. It's Matt Ryan.
Now, you know, it's interesting that the names that he brought up from a skill set, there's no question about the fact that Matt is every bit as what Wilson or Eli or Ben Roethlisberger or Phillip Rivers or any of those guys, okay? The problem for Matt, and it will always be the problem for Matt until he gets over this one particular hump, when you mention Eli and Ben and Russell Wilson and even Joe Flacco, who's not better than Matt and hasn't really had a better career than Matt. But the fact is, they have the one thing, sometimes two things, that Matt doesn't have, the Super Bowl trophy. And more than any other sport, you know, more than baseball's a stat-driven league. Even basketball, we talk about this guy was 20-10, right? Soccer, you know, take your pick, NHL, Gretzky and his goals and everything. 50 goal scores. Take your pick. The sport of football is about your success. And that's the thing that hurts Matt when we talk about his legacy, when we talk about where is he. When you look at Matt's numbers, he's going to finish in the top 6'7", 8" all time in all the stats. Plays a few more years. He's already in the top 10, I think, in touchdowns and in passing yards. He's going to finish in the top 5 to 10 of all the big stat numbers. But if he doesn't have the Super Bowl, then that resume starts to go up against the Phillip Rivers and guys like that of the world. Because you take Matt's numbers of what they will be, and you give him a Super Bowl, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame. There's no question about it. You put those numbers and against his contemporaries, but that's the problem because his contemporaries are Brady and Breeze and Rodgers and Wilson and Big Ben and Eli Manning and even Peyton Manning. A lot of guys, and Joe Flacco, because they came out in the same draft, all of those guys have the Super Bowl. All of those guys. Even Nick Foles has the Super Bowl, right? That's where it gets to be. Nobody remembers Terry Bradshaw's passing yards for his career, but they remember his 4 Super Bowls. Nobody remembers how many touchdown passes Troy Aikman threw in his career. Remember the 3 Super Bowls, though. And that, unfortunately, is the difference. And I've said this many times. You know, even in his own town, I think people don't give Matt enough credit. Because Matt is the most important player in the Falcons franchise, without question, as Tony Schiavone would say. He may not be the best player. He may not be, as a football player, better than Deion Sanders, better than Julio Jones, better than Tommy Nobis. But he is, without a doubt, the most important guy in the history of the franchise. Because the franchise has never been better since he's gotten here. Whether they've had a rookie head coach, they've brought in a new coach, kept the general manager, change this guy, change that guy, change your OCs, whatever you want to say. But the franchise has never been more stable, never been more consistently good. You know, every other time when you look at the history of the Falcons franchise, it's blips. It's Barkowski lost one time to the Cowboys. It's Chris Miller and Dion and that playoff group lost to Washington. It's Chris Chandler, they go to the Super Bowl. You know, all the Super Bowl's more noted for what happened with Eugene Robinson than it is for the Falcons losing. It's always blips. Remember that Super Bowl team of Chris Chandler? They were dreadful the next year. Chris went down in the game against Minnesota. Jamal tears his ACL on the crickets in Dallas on Monday night. At one point, you had Ken Oxendine and Brian Hansbart and Tony Graziani. How are you going to win with that? So nobody has been more important to the franchise, this franchise, than Matt Ryan. And even in his hometown, considering how important the quarterback position is, considering how glamorized and glorified the position is, even in his own hometown, Matt has been underrated. Well, you know, he can't do this. Every time I hit, well, he can't throw the deep ball, okay? Are you telling me that maybe his best play of all time isn't that throw to Roddy over Richard Sherman in the playoff game against Seattle? Didn't have any problem throwing the deep ball then. How about the throw that he made to Julio to set up first and 10 from the 22-yard line before the OC and the head coach couldn't figure out what to do from a play-calling standpoint? But that's the shame of it, is that I don't know how many more years Matt has, but this is why you hear me get emotional about it. When you have your guy and he's in his prime, you have to win. Because you don't know how long that prime is. You don't know how quickly he could go away. And for a guy who's been one of the most hit, sacked, beat-up quarterbacks and only missed one game, you know, at some point, the check comes due. At some point, they close up the bar, and all the drinks you went around buying for everybody, suddenly they put the bill in front of you, and you got to pull the card out and settle up on it. And that's what happens with your quarterback. Sometimes you get lucky and it goes into your 40s. Sometimes by 27, some guys are done. So I don't disagree. I mean, You've got a MVP, because here's the thing, and I said this earlier, the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 51. If the Falcons win, Matt Ryan would have been, and I want to make sure that everybody's listening. So if you're not, if you're not in a good place, sit down, take a second, okay? Radio.com app, in your car, whatever. Stop what you're doing. Pull over on the side of the road. You're in your car, pull over right now. I'll give you a second. Pull over in a cul-de-sac entrance, pull over in a parking lot, whatever like that. Make sure we understand this, because some people want to argue this. It's not an arguable point. Matt Ryan, if the Falcons had won the Super Bowl, would have been the MVP. Don't tell me Grady Jarrett. Don't tell me Julio. Don't tell me this guy. Don't tell me that guy. Matt had the highest quarterback rating in the history of the Super Bowl for a non-winning team. Matt would have been the Super Bowl. That would have been MVP, MVP of the Super Bowl champion. And, oh, yeah, top five or six or seven in all the passing categories. That's a Hall of Fame resume, folks. That gets you in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And if you don't think it's about winning, okay, go back to the guy who scored more points than anybody in the history of the sport. If the entire basic fundamental purpose of pro football is after 60 minutes, do you have more points than your opponent? Jarvis, come on air. Would you agree the core fundamental principle of professional football is after 60 minutes of play, do you have more points than your opponent? Is that the core fundamental goal of professional football?
Last time I checked, and from based off my experiences, that is the 100% truth you're speaking, my friend.
Okay. So with that, the guy who scored more points than any player at any position in the history of the NFL waited a bunch of years to get in the Hall of Fame. Why? Because he doesn't have the chance. Let me tell you, do you think Adam Vinatieri is going to wait as long as Morton Anderson did to get in the Hall of Fame? Not a chance. Not a chance. Why? Because he kicked all the Super Bowl winning field goals. Mr. Clutch, Mr. Super Bowl, beat the Rams. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and quickly. He won't wait a decade, 15 years to get in the Hall of Fame. He'll go in. Quickly. It's about winning in the NFL. Fair or unfair, it's the way the league is. It's the way the perception of players in the league is. Did you win enough? Now, some guys, like Marino, put up such gaudy numbers. You know, when you retire number one in everything ever at your position, people can overlook the winning if your stats are so ridiculously stupid. But I personally don't think, and it's just my personal opinion, that if Matt Ryan retires, and he retires in the next few years, and he's top 6, 7, 8 all-time in all the stats, I don't think he goes in the Hall of Fame without the Super Bowl. Because you're going to have a bunch of his contemporaries, from Wilson to Peyton to Eli to Brady to Breeze to Ben to Roth to all those guys, Rodgers, that will have the one thing that he doesn't have. And in the NFL, that's everything, guys and gals and kids. If you're up late still, you ain't going to school. That's everything, fair or unfair. All right, we're headed toward the top of the hour. JR Sports Brief will be coming up next. One more segment to go. It is John Chuckery hanging out with you on a Monday night, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio, that's in the game. Back at it. John Chuckery Show headed toward the top of the hour. JR Sports Week will be coming up next. Let me ask you a question. Is it inappropriate to talk about how freaking gorgeous Charlotte Flair is? Is it wrong? Is that inappropriate in 2020? Is that something we can't talk about? How just unbelievable, how statuesque she is. I mean, she's a great performer. She's the top dog in all of women's wrestling, but my goodness gracious, she is just a Yeah, there's something special about her. Something special about her. Ashley Fleer. That's her real name, Ashley Fleer. Because that's Rick's name is Fleer. F-L-E-U-R or something like that. Fleer. And her name, first name is Ashley. It's not Charlotte, in case you didn't know. That's kayfabe. That's her gimmick ring name is Charlotte. She's from Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where she was born, is Charlotte, North Carolina. The queen from the Queen City. But no, Ashley Fleer. She used to be on TV when she was like even 9 years old back at Starrcade 93 and did some things when, you know, she was a kid. Like she was part of some of the storylines just coming out with her dad and stuff like that. But whew. My goodness gracious. Speaking of wrestling, tomorrow night we got Guy Evans coming on. By the way, hit me up on my Twitter, at JMCH316, also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm writing down. Some folks have been giving me some Audible selections because I got my next free credit coming up on the 26th of June, and I'm right in the middle of David McCullough's 1776 book, something I've been wanting to read for a while now, but I'm loving this Audible thing. So if you got any suggestions, and I said no nonfiction. I'm not a nonfiction guy. I like history. I like biographies. I like true crime. You know, sports books. You know, obviously. So I'm into that kind of stuff. So no nonfiction. You can save the nonfiction stuff. I'm not into all of that. So I'll take your Audible selections, you know, on all of it. But I just finished up last week. I finished up Guy Evans' Nitro book. We're going to have Guy on tomorrow night on the show as he discusses the history of WCW Nitro. And, of course, you know, for 29 years, WCW, Jim Crockett Promotions, that was all part of WTBS, even before they were called WTBS. They had Ted had a name for Channel 17 before it was WTBS. It was something else out there. But of course, all the years that they had, you know, all the TV wrestling on. Once the 605 went away, then of course, you know, TNT had Nitro starting in 95. They had Thunder on TBS starting in, when did Thunder come on? 1998, I think, is when Thunder debuted. That was the Thursday night show on TBS. TNT was where they had Nitro. Fascinating look at the fact that besides Ted, nobody wanted WCW. Nobody wanted TV, and they certainly didn't want, because TNT was considered the highbrow channel of Turner. That was considered his A channel, top channel. That was considered his. They considered that the important highbrow kind of channel. And the last thing that they wanted was wrestling, as Ted Turner would call it. Ted Turner always called it wrestling. The rest of them didn't want wrestling. They, you know, Ted wanted wrestling. Famously, you know, Ted, when Ted buys Jim Crockett Promotions and is turning it into World Championship Wrestling, famously, he calls Vince McMahon, and he says, "Well, Vince, I'm finally in the wrestling business." And Vince McMahon says, "That's great, Ted. We're in the entertainment business over here." So the famous phone call between those two. So fascinating look at the story and times, you know, up until the end of 2001. And it's a shame because, I mean, we've needed a competition in wrestling to make it better for a long time now. So I'm so glad AEW has come along, although they got to figure some things out themselves. But I really enjoy their program on Wednesday night, you know, their Dynamite show, and their pay-per-views have been pretty good as well. And they're doing lots of crazy stuff, you know, as well out there. But at least now we get some competition, even though it's not Raw or SmackDown versus AEW. It's, you know, it's NXT going up against them. But this pandemic has just killed viewership in wrestling. I mean, they get less than 800,000 people. Now, put that in perspective. When you get into the Monday Night Wars of the Attitude Era in the mid-late 90s, you're talking about 8 to 12 million people that were watching wrestling in a night. It's a staggering amount of people that used to watch wrestling, and how popular it became, and how popular it became part of pop culture, even. How much part of our culture. Those guys, you know, The Rock and Austin and Flair and Hogan, they all transcended wrestling. They were bigger. I mean, they were bigger personalities than just they were wrestlers, you would see those everywhere. I mean, even Ric Flair to this day is 75 years old, and what, he's a icon in the rap world, icon in the hip-hop world. And he's like mid-70s, and he's more popular now than he ever was, even as a performer back in the late 70s and all that, because of, you know, a whole different group of fans that have discovered him. So should be a lot of fun talking to Guy in what is a great book. So I'm looking for something, you know, next to my Audible book because, you know, we'll head on vacation. I'll leave out that 26th, so that's exactly the day that my – so I need something to listen to on the plane. And I said earlier, I mean, I'm really – enjoying this Audible. I mean, I have not paid $1 for a book. I mean, they give you a free credit for a book when you sign up. So you sign up and they give you a free credit for a book. So I got Jim Ross's book with that. Then like a month later, I got another free credit. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess you earn one each month or something like that. So I was like, okay, I got a free credit. So I got the Nitro book. And then here, I don't know, last week, sent me another credit, I guess it'd been a month, and I got this, you know, the book 1776 by David McCullough, which is tremendous, by the way. If you're a history buff, you know, War of Independence, I mean, it's you know, one of the great books, you know, ever written. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning account of, you know, what was going on in America during the Revolutionary War, you know, from late 1775 through 1776. So I need to find... need to find my next book, you know, out of all of it. So we'll talk to Guy coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, too. Don't forget, we'll have our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts, coming up. Always lots to get into with her there. My buddy told me that South Carolina, by the way, even more open than Georgia, if you can believe that, that they're even looser with some of the things. And things are definitely starting to pick up. I mean, went to the mall again this weekend because we didn't really get a chance to get much done last weekend because they closed. Oh, that was the other thing too. Saturday, we got there Saturday afternoon, and they closed up early. They were closing up early because there was, you know, I know Alpharetta police were expecting some protests and things like that. Nothing ever happened, but they actually closed up early on Saturday because of reports of protesters and things like that were headed up that way, but nothing materialized with it. But still amazing to go to the mall. You know, at this point, it's still only about maybe 60-40, maybe 50-50 that's open. I mean, the big stores are open except JCPenney because they're bankrupt, which, by the way, their stock keeps going up. It went down a little bit today, but I told you I bought it for 16 cents, and it's up over – it's a little bit over 21, I think, is what it's sitting at right now. Not much, but listen, every few bucks helps out there. But still – just kind of amazing because you wonder when these things are going to start to consistently open up. When is the mall going to open up its stores? The food court only has, literally, Subway is the only restaurant that's open in the food court. Nothing else is open. Most of the stores, or at least probably half the stores, you know, are all that's open. You know, the big ones, Macy's and all that, but all these little small shops, man, I wonder if some of these stores will even ever open back up. That's going to be the one thing about this pandemic, that a lot of small business and a lot of these small stores probably don't recover. Restaurants and all that kind of stuff don't recover and don't come back. All right, JR Sports Brief coming up next. We'll get the Love TKO and wrap things up here. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, Nights in the Game, and on the radio.com app.
Yeah, you're looking sweet tonight. You got it every day, girl. Wish that I could love you back in a special way. You light my fire.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.